They love it in regional New South Wales.
But this is one of your silliest questions I've heard for a long while.
I understand how childish you make yourself.
You write lovely letters and you get lovely infrastructure.
I move that item number 1494 in relation to saving the planet dealt with.
I think the quality of that eye was almost a motion of surrender.
Harley Waffle, the week in New South Wales politics with Kelly Fuller.
Well, what do you think of the new opening theme? So much has changed in just the last couple of weeks. We needed some new voices. So welcome to Parley Waffle, and it's a very busy end to the parliamentary year, with the last couple of weeks jam-packed with an urgent legislative agenda. But the week started with the government facing questions about a restructure of how public transport assets are funded through the establishment of what we now know is the Transport Asset Holding Entity, and whether it's an example of some pretty creative accounting. Labor's Daniel Mookey used an inquiry to raise questions about whether rail safety has been jeopardised in the deal.
The public is entitled to ask serious questions about why the government decided to privilege artificially inflating the budget over rail safety.
Also this week, leaks from a Liberal Party meeting suggesting the Health Minister Brad Hazzard lost a push to see COVID health measures extended till March 2023, which is when the next state election will take place. Premier Dominic Perrottet says he'll consider the matter over the parliamentary break.
It's obviously an evolving situation with the pandemic. We need to make sure that we don't have a heavy-handed government. There will no doubt be provisions that need to be extended, but it's working through what's necessary, what's not.
Parley Waffle, the week in New South Wales politics with Kelly Fuller.
Well, a little over a week ago, the New South Wales government agreed to hold an inquiry into unsolved gay and transgender hate crimes. It came after an upper house inquiry over several years heard harrowing evidence of violent crimes and urged the government to commit to a more powerful inquiry. In the coverage of the announcement, there was a lot of focus on Sydney. But in the report, the chair of the committee, Liberal MLC Shane Mallard, urged the inquiry to ensure it had a rural focus. Shane Mallard, welcome to Parley Waffle.
Oh, thank you. Good morning.
Well, a lot of coverage focused on Sydney's dark past, the tragedies that had been caused by this hatred. But what light did your inquiry shed on the impact of hate crimes in rural and regional communities?
Well, I think the fact is, from that period we examined, the 70s through to 2010, Sydney was, of course, the bright lights, the mecca for young gay and lesbian transgender members of our community in the state to move to, where there was a feeling of community and greater safety. In fact, all around Australia, evidence is they gravitated to Sydney for that sort of collective safety. But, of course, they came from all across the state and the country. So rural and regional areas in New South Wales, no different to the rest of the community, have a gay and lesbian transgender population within their communities. And they came to Sydney, they went back maybe, and we were trying to tap into that group to see what their experiences were both in Sydney, but also back at home in their country in regional areas.
So were you able to sort of tap into at all or get a sense of the underreporting of hate crime in regional and rural communities?
It's not recorded well, the violence in rural and regional communities, and I think that reflects the tight-knit nature of rural and regional communities. So an inquiry sort of speculated that if you were a man who went and had sex with men in a park in a rural or regional community and you were bashed and you went to the police, that could in fact destroy your standing within the community at that time, particularly remembering that not only was there dreadful prejudice, but up until the mid to late 80s, it was illegal to be homosexual. And so there's a very difficult for, even more difficult for rural regional people to come forward and say, you know, I was in a park to meet a man and I got bashed up, and go to the local police sergeant and tell them that, because it just, you know, sort of communities, it's not easy to keep a lid on that sort of information. So that's why they often move to the city to seek a more anonymous community, broader community base.
Shane Mallard, of the dozens of deaths that have been attributed to these hate crimes, only one or two from regional New South Wales. But do you suspect that number only touches the surface, unfortunately, of what possibly could have happened in rural and regional communities?
Well, there's one or two outside of Sydney, like Wollongong, for example, and the one that always pulls the heartstrings is Ross Warren, the newsreader from Wollongong, who came up to Sydney to go out for a night in Oxford Street. That's where you talk about that, where you feel safer in a community. Discreetly gay in his home community in Wollongong, came up to Sydney and disappeared, never found again, believed murdered, thrown off the cliffs at Bondi. His mother's heartfelt pleas and letters is what triggered the entire discovery by police, good police, that there was a linkage to these murders and disappearances. So there's one or two there that came out through the inquiry. Yes, there's evidence, and we had academics come to us, that there's miscategorisation of murders and assaults. I mean, I myself was, I mean, it's in Sydney, but I was bashed and we put it down as an attempted robbery. But now I'm of the view after the inquiry and hearing evidence that other people had the same experience, that I was targeted because I was gay and in a gay area in Oxford Street precinct. But also, you know, during the inquiry, we had a transgender woman murdered in Wagga Wagga. That's been categorised down as a drug deal. And we heard evidence, people saying, well, you know, was this a drug deal, or was this more motivated by the fact that this person was a transgender person? So even today we have this issue, how do you categorise these crimes? The police have responded to our inquiry with one of our recommendations, which is the COPS system, which is this all-encompassing database that collects all information about crimes and activities, has now been broken down to categories of hate crimes, including identifying LGBTQ community issues for a victim. And we welcome that. That was one of our recommendations of the first inquiry, and that's been rolled out now. So you have hate crimes based on, as you would imagine, religion, race, obviously sexuality. It can also be disability. And so those things have been captured now, and we welcome that initiative, because that understanding what's going on helps us approach a strategy to try and deal with it.
Yeah. So this inquiry has been promised now by the state government. The Attorney-General's drafting the terms of reference. What special focus do you think the inquiry should bring to investigating what's happened in rural and regional New South Wales? And do you suspect or hope they should hold some hearings, at least one, if not more, in rural areas?
Well, the inquiry should, in my view, and I represent the community views that have come to me about this, it should not be constrained or narrow. It should be broad, it should be well-resourced, and it should be given plenty of time to go where it needs to go in regards to getting to the bottom of this. And that's the unsolved murders. There's about 23, I think, from memory, unsolved. But also, you know, the issues around, the questions asked around police involvement, questions asked around the judicial system's involvement and the categorisation, under-reporting. Those 88 include no lesbians. It's impossible to believe that there were no lesbians subject to violence and indeed murder in that period. And the evidence we got was that they would be categorised often as domestic violence, because it might be a male ex-partner that was the perpetrator of the violence. So, you know, there's a whole lot of areas to dig into to seek truth and justice. We reached out to my inquiry, the two inquiries that the Parliament held, reached out to rural and regional New South Wales through media, community connections and social media. And we did not have a lot of people come to give evidence. We had one or two. And so we decided not to get to do a trip out, such as we'd like to have done, to places like, you know, Albury or Dubbo or other places to hold hearings, because we weren't sure how productive that would be. So I guess whoever's doing the inquiry will make that call based on submissions and police material around that. But if it's needed, yes, of course, it should go to rural or regional New South Wales. Living as a member of the LGBTQI community in rural and regional Australia is so different to living in Darlinghurst or Alexandra in the city. You know, you need to be much more cautious and protective of yourself, because the communities are so closely knit. But, you know, I don't categorise rural and regional New South Wales as being, you know, a hotbed of homophobia. I believe it's a very accepting community. It's just a minority that cause some problems in all our communities, and no different to rural and regional New South Wales.
Liberal MLC Shane Mallard there, and he hopes the inquiry is able to start in the new year. And there's a couple of own goals this week. First, to Animal Justice Party MLC Mark Pearson, who asked Minister Bronnie Taylor, who's married to a fourth-generation sheep farmer, if Australian restaurants were transitioning away from meat.
Mr. President, I love meat. Yes. I love it. I absolutely love it. I completely...
And after being the focus of all of Labor's attention in Question Time on Tuesday and rejecting the premise of every one of their questions, Planning Minister Rob Stokes, who currently has the extended portfolio responsibilities of transport and roads, was also offered the last Dorothy Dixer of the day, which came with special advice from his new boss.
Don't reject the premise.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to begin by thanking the Premier for his interjection and just noting that, you know, while in the recent contest I may not have ended up with the Premiership, Mr. Speaker, but I did end up with all the questions and with all the portfolios too. So it really worked out for everybody, Mr. Speaker.
Catch you next time.